Hi, I'm Matt Heath, and this is my friend Jeremy Wells, and welcome to our daily podcast, which we farted out sometime between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. this morning.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by MyRepublic. Even if you are listening to this courtesy of another provider, they won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits? What great New Zealanders they are.
And don't forget to subscribe, slag us off, and give us a 5-star review.
Agenda.
Is that right? And here are our topics for the day. Later, parents don't see overweight kids, unless they're not their own. Soon, Kiwi hangs out with the Queen. No way. But now, police fruit firing squad.
Police in South Africa have been recorded lining up suspected thieves against a wall and chucking some Braeburns at them.
Some apples.
The footage shows five officers flinging the stolen crop like baseballs at the suspects, and then watching them flinch and duck. One person, probably the one holding the camera, can be heard giggling.
It's pretty funny.
Local Mayor Christelle Vuslu called the officers' actions inhumane and a gross violation of the safety and dignity of the victims. Witnesses commenting on the video have claimed the suspects were caught throwing apples at passing motorists, and the officers just gave them what they deserved.
Geez, I've got to say, in South Africa, that might be the lowest level of police brutality that's ever been recorded. I mean, the police in South Africa historically have done some pretty intense things.
Really, South Africa? I thought South Africa. When I think of South Africa, I think of human rights. I think of Great Bastion, of everybody treated fairly. Just a wonderful, forward-thinking country. Plays amazing 10-man rugby.
Yeah. My friend Brian from South Africa, who comes over and back once a year, he says, your police over here, he got pulled over by the police here, and he said, oh my God, your police are so not scary and so friendly compared to police in South Africa. That's what he said to me. That's what Brian said to me. Brian's a man of colour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, historically, look, maybe there have been a couple of indiscrepancies from the police in South Africa around people of colour, maybe. but, I mean, they are looking into that now. But I'm not sure. Nothing's been definitely ticked off as definitely having happened. There's a couple of minor incidents, perhaps.
Yeah,
that are being investigated.
Yeah, some minor imprisonments, shootings.
Yeah, and just murders, sort of a policy against
firebombings,
sort of house people of colour called apartheid. But, I mean, apart from that, pretty much everything's been great.
Hey, Jerry, you were talking the other day about a new segment on our show. And it was, what was it again? Do you have the wording for it?
A low-level chat?
No, that wasn't it. You're useless. It was called a shoehorned in personal anecdote.
Oh, crowbarred personal anecdote.
A crowbarred personal anecdote into an agenda story.
Right.
I've got a crowbarred personal anecdote.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
When I was arrested for resisting arrest at the Paradise Bar on K Road, don't go looking for it, it's not there anymore. As Rob Reiner said about the purple banana at the start of Spinal Tap. No, it's not there anymore. It was a bar. And anyway, I happened to live in St. Kevin's Arcade. That was where my apartment was back then. And the bar was above the apartment, up the front. So anyway, I'd been working the late shift where I cut together ads. But all my friends had been partying at the Paradise Bar because I lived with a bunch of friends in this thing. Anyway, I arrived home looking for a drink, thinking I'll meet up with my friends. I've been working for hours. And as I arrived to go up the stairs at the Paradise Bar, what looked like a 17 or 19-year-old girl, something like that, came piling down the stairs, and she'd been pushed down the stairs by a cop, and her camera smashed on the ground. And I was like, dude, what are you doing, to the cop? And then the cop said, what? I said, what are you doing? You can't push a girl down the stairs like that. Meanwhile, my other friends are involved in an altercation with the cops that I've stupidly got myself involved in. And before I know it, a cop from behind me grabs me, puts my arm up against that classic hold, and then slams my face down onto the tiles and starts just elbowing my face into the tiles, going, think you're smart, do you? Think you're smart, dude? And then I thought, okay, well, screw you. So then I said, listen, mate, I pay taxes, so you work for me.
Oh.
So you want to get the hell out of here right now.
Oh. Just, okay. And then
my friend... this is my feeling is
from this point on, things are going to get worse.
Well, the problem was feeling. Back then I had a problem with escalating things. I'd never back down, you know what I mean? As you do when you're a bit younger. And then anyway, my friend who still has that problem and definitely had it then came flying in and tackled the cop in a full, he was in the first first 15, and he had a decent tackle on. He came in flying with what was an impressive sort of tackle, got the cop right with the shoulder, and knocked him off the top. And then it was all on. And meanwhile, I'm just lying there as everyone's getting punched, including me, going, just finished work. My house, I'm like 20 metres from my house. And no one will believe me that's my house. No one will believe me that I've got nothing to do with it. No one will believe me that I'm sober when I clearly am. And then I'm on the frickin' news being thrown in the back of a van going, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I just want to go home.
So were you arrested?
I was arrested, yes, and taken to the cells. And when I got there, the cop said, oh, so we work for you, do you? So they'd rung through and said what I said.
Jesus.
But then my friend who's, you know the guy, who's, he doesn't back down.
No.
He managed to get his handcuffs off. They were those plastic ones they put on you.
Oh, yeah.
When we were in that, when we were getting processed. And so he went, ha ha, gave everyone the bird, all the cops and the bird that were there, and started running off with nowhere to go. And so then we got another little bit of a hiding then. And I was like, come on.
Oh, no.
And the thing is, he got thrown in the cell and I got thrown in a different cell. And I was sober, so I just sat up all night, not being able to do anything.
Some good people in the cells with you?
I was in a cell by myself, actually.
Oh, well, that's good.
But when you get put in a cell like that, they put take your belt off and everything so you don't hang yourself. I'm like, oh, I'm going to hang myself. And then they put your shoes in front of the door so you don't wee out the door because you'll be weeing on your own shoes. So anyway, I sat there up all night and then I finally got home and then all my friends were still drinking, waiting for us to get home if we got out. And then my friend who had done all the bad stuff, he'd been let out hours and hours early because he just didn't say that one smart comment about them working for me.
Oh, right.
And also, some of the cops were fans of Back of the Y, so they were coming in getting me to sign things in my cell.
Right, that's not appropriate.
They would come in and say, hey, it's pretty funny that you guys in here, could you sign
it? Did you sign it, you work for me, love Matt Heath?
No, I didn't. But it was frustrating.
So what happened there? So
then I went to court.
Yeah.
And the judge said, and obviously I had quite a big black eye, and I was standing there, the judge goes to the police, what is he's been charged with resisting arrest, but what were you arresting him for? And they hadn't listed anything else that I'd done. So
right.
They said, you can't really be charged for resisting arrest. What was the charge? Why are you arresting him? Because really all I'd been doing was saying, dude, don't throw that girl down the stairs.
Yes.
So they didn't really list that.
Yeah.
And so the judge, in some common sense judging, said, if you send your mum some flowers, if you send Rosemary some flowers, then you were, for the embarrassment of you being on TV, being arrested, then this just ends right now. And so I was like, well, I'll just let this.
Well, you could have laid a complaint with the police complaints authority, surely. For beating you up.
Well, a lot of some of the other people involved in it did that, and they kept trying to get me involved. And I was like, "Well, you guys were actually steamed and trying to start a fight with the cops, so you know, I don't want to be. I'm quite happy to be. I'll just move on from
that."
Well,
generally, what happens in that situation is in the past anyway, Greg O'Connor would then come forward and say the police needed guns.
Yeah, that's right.
He'd say, "Oh, yeah, no, we've lodged your complaint. We're looking into it, and police need guns."
But that was the team police. They were the guys back then. Remember, they got disbanded for doing that kind of thing.
They used to drive around in a van
and just crack heads,
sort things out on a Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And they got disbanded. And anyway, that was my example of police brutality. I'd have been happy to get some apples thrown at me, actually.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
Trump Watch.
The greatest president that God ever created.
With Dr. Steve Simpson.
China.
From the Auckland University Physics Department.
We will make America great again.
Good morning, Dr. Steve Simpson of the Auckland University Physics Department. Just before into the latest goings on in the world of Trump, Matt has some new developments in the ongoing investigation into you and the improper relations that you seem to have formed with a number of females inside of the physics faculty.
I dispute that. I dispute that.
Well, let's just go back. Okay, first there was the 7 students that you took to the Laneways Festival, all female and paid for by the department. There was the interns that you described as secretaries, turned out to be interns that you took to a conference, and a penthouse suite was booked.
That's not proven.
That is proven. That has been proven. The records are there. There's also the heavily weighted in the favour of female students getting over 80% in your internal assessment, and compared to males under 50% at the physics department. And
women also can be very bright.
But before you try and get out of this one, I received a photograph in the weekend, and I'd like you to look at it, and I'd like you to describe what this is. This is a physics department faculty drinks. This photo arrived at 3:30 a.m. in the morning. There's you sitting there. Mm-hmm. What are you holding? A glass of wine. And describe all the other people at this table here.
Everyday New Zealanders.
What gender are they?
They're all young, they're all good looking, and they're all female. I mean, what are you going to deny that?
I'm not going to deny that. No.
Well, how do you explain why you were in a clearly a social situation involving alcohol with a number of these female students?
Well, it's just statistical irregularities do occur over time. I took out some of my top students after some particularly good grades, and that happened to be who they were.
Right, yeah. And is it appropriate for a professor at the Auckland University Physics Department? Is it, you're not a professor yet, are you? You won't be at this rate. I mean, sure, 6:30 at night, 7:30 at night, 8:30 at night, 3:30 a.m. in the morning.
Well, it's true, I have tried to modernise the physics department and, I don't know, bring a little fun to what has traditionally been a dry and male-dominated domain. And so I'm creating some opportunities.
Okay, well, watch this space, listeners. We'll be back in a minute. I understand Trump's had quite weak.
Are we going to do Trump?
We'll be back in a second with Trump.
We just had to deal with those allegations first.
It'd be remiss of us before we look at Trump scandals.
I don't feel the answers are quite there at this point in time, but still.
Got to make sure our house is in order before we...
So I said to her, look, if you're going to do that, mm-hmm. Then do it properly, don't do it half, don't go halfway, do the full service, and then she told me to bugger off.
Absolutely. Oh, is the mic on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, you're halfway through a podcast, listen to the rest, there's some great stuff to come.
Dr. Steve Simpson of the Auckland University Physics Department, who has not really answered those allegations swirling around him with impropriety to do with the female students of the faculty. But let's move on to Donald Trump, Dr. Steve Simpson. Trump, away, overseas. How's his trip going?
Hugely successful tour of the world. Made a good guy of himself everywhere he went, I understand.
Well, he's back now, yep. And he's tweeting furiously. He's back, but while he was away, he didn't do a single tweet. They kept him pretty locked down. I think everyone was paranoid that he was going to make an absolute goober of himself, which he still managed to do if you watched what happened. After fawning over those Middle East dictators and autocrats, he went to America's real allies and told them off, basically.
NATO members must finally contribute their fair share and meet their financial obligations.
So as like some kind of bill collector standing there where they're all waiting for some kind of, endorsement of the treaty that they all agree on and has kept, the world, safe for 70 years, he instead just acted like a cheap bill collector. That was after manhandling the president of Montenegro out of the way. Most people have seen that footage. That was an absolute shocker. So he's been described as being a huge embarrassment to America on the international stage, but he gave himself a good review.
And I think we hit a home run no matter where we are. We're thrilled to be here right now, and we're getting on that very big plane. We're heading back to Washington in the United States.
That very big plane must show off about the size of my plane. Hit a home run. It was amazing.
If he hit a home run. How much would he talk himself up in that situation?
Well, he can't. I'm already operating at 100%. There's no higher I can compliment myself. Even if I have a great success, I've already compliment myself for huge failures. Like, for example, he's left. The whole point is you go on these things. And the whole NATO situation is interesting because Germany says, look, we contribute a lot to our military, but we've made heaps of sort of improvements and streamlining, so we don't need to put that percentage in. We said the other thing they're saying is you don't need to be in Europe. You know what I mean? You're America. We're allowing you into Europe, so you have to pay to be here. if you know what I'm saying. And the other thing is Macron, the new French president, not only makes Trump look like a short, fat, orange fool, he did the greatest snub of him when he walked down at the NATO meeting and walked straight towards Trump, down this long, long sort of red carpet, and walked right towards Trump. And when he was about to talk to Trump, he turned and snubbed him, did the great snub, and went through and hugged Angela Merkel, which you've got to take as a statement that Europe is deciding to sort of maybe distance itself a little bit from America, especially when Angela Merkel says Europe's decided to take a step away from America and distance itself in a little bit of a way after meeting what they thought was an idiot.
Well, like we were saying off air, you can't trust him anyway. You can't trust him with classified information. You can't really trust him at all. But yeah, and also to your point, Matt, America doesn't have to spend the amount of money it spends on military. It's not like it's about to cut back. That's part of his whole platform. That's their choice to spend as much as they do on defence. And you know, he's slashing the government budget in other areas to pay for increased military spending. Anyway, he got back to a storm on the Russian collusion investigation with the news that his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is the person of interest that has been being talked about for a couple of weeks as someone very high up in the administration that was being closely looked at in the congressional investigation. And that's because he's supposedly, allegedly, according to the Washington Post, and now confirmed by a source close to the government, wanted to open up a back channel of communication to Russia using Russian communication systems so that they could bypass American intelligence. Now, why?
Yeah, why? Why? Probably to get some loans for his incredibly dodgy real estate operation that Kushner runs, that has sisters out in China selling real estate in America with a connection through to the Trump administration. You know, things like that, you know.
So Trump's very frustrated. He's come back. This Russia thing's blown up just as big while he's been away. And he's tweeting about fake news, and it's all the fake news, which you would think he might have learned has not been working for him in terms of the way he's getting covered by the media.
Well, there we go. Those are Trump scandals. Once again, you haven't addressed your scandals. We'll see you again next Tuesday to look further into both those areas.
Steve Simpson of the Auckland University Physics Department.
You're welcome.
And I can just say now that I've received another text, a photo of you on the dance floor with seven physics students, all female.
Doing the Macarena as well, which is possibly the largest crime that you've committed so far. That's a huge allegation.
Well, how can you tell that from the photo?
Well, you can tell, and that's the biggest problem.
It's either the Macarena or the Blue Monkey. I'm not sure which one, but either is not ideal.
No, it's not verified.
The world's first operational Robocop has been unveiled in Dubai as part of the Emirates' planned robot police force. Robocop started work on Sunday and is already making a name for itself at 5'5" tall and weighing 100 kgs. It can speak six languages and is designed to read facial expressions. The machine has a built-in tablet, so people can use it to pay fines or to report crimes, and can also transmit and receive messages from police headquarters.
That robot is the worst robot I've seen since the original Total Recall Johnny Cabs.
How weird is that robot? It is a weird-looking robot.
It's like, come on. They've had robots like that for ages. It's just head moving back
and forth. It's very much like that one. What was that? What was the one Lost in Space?
Yeah.
That 1960s show?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Will, what's his name?
When you get a Robocop, I expect it to be a little bit higher level these days. And also too short. Too short for a cop.
5'5".
5'5". I mean, that's Michael J. Fox height.
Well, do you think maybe they could plonk one of those bobby hats on the top? One of those old-school police hats.
The old-school Kiwi police tit hat.
Do you remember those?
I do. A friend of mine's dad used to be a cop, and he was really bummed when those hats were taken off him because he loved them in a fight because he said he'd get them off, hold it in the middle. It was great for punching people.
The tit hat.
The tit hat.
Here's Nick, the swimming pool builder from Whangaparo. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Good morning.
Build any kidney-shaped pools lately?
No, not really.
What's the pool shape du jour, Nick?
What's that?
What's the pool shape du jour?
Got a flying V up in Tuffrenui.
What, like a flying V guitar?
Yes, it's not. It's sort of just like a real big V shape.
Big V shape. So a V or an arrow, like a V?
Yeah, no, more of a V. Yeah.
And what's in the middle of the V?
It's sort of like, imagine, like
flora.
The what?
Flora is the flora in the middle of the V?
You haven't
No.
You haven't built a giant woman's downstairs operation, have you?
No, God no.
Hell no. No.
When was the last time you built a male downstairs operation pool, Nick?
Quite a while.
It's been a while.
Been a while. Hoping for one to come up soon, actually.
Hey, do you find Jerry's 5-foot-tall robot that can say about 4 things in Dubai exciting?
I think that's pretty incredible, but I would have thought they could have made it a little bit taller.
Yeah, yeah.
5'5", yeah. Well, I mean,
considering you can make it any height, you know?
Yeah, you know, make it big, like 6'5" or 7 foot.
To be fair, the Emiratis are not tall people.
Yeah, but they're
basically
tall. They're quite small.
Yeah, but, you know.
You'd sort of stand over it and push it over.
So, Nick, where are you sitting on? You sitting yay or nay on that? You say sort of.
Yeah, no, I'm sitting yay. Very yay.
Yes. Thanks, Nick. Yes.
Can't wait to have a dip in this giant downstairs operation you've built in Whangaparoa.
The Agenda.
For people just joining the Matt and Jerry Show, our agenda is a communal community conversation starters. You are welcome to chime in with your opinion anytime during the agenda on any items discussed. Calling us on 0800 Hodaki is the best way to join the discourse. And these are our topics for the day. Later, Kiwi hangs out with the Queen. Soon, police fruit firing squad in SA. But now, parents don't see overweight kids.
A recent study has revealed parents don't recognise their kids are overweight.
I just said that.
A majority of parents of overweight kids or obese preschoolers thought their kids were within a normal weight range, raising concern amongst specialists. The latest information focuses on a kid's fifth year and takes into account their weight, height, waist circumference and BMI calculated using WHO, that's the World Health Organization standards. 4 out of 5 parents correctly identified that their child was a normal weight, but the parents of overweight children didn't do so well.
Well, you always wonder about that because you see the odd fat kid and you go, well, why are you still feeding it? You know, cart it off. Cart it off. Don't give it the 2-litre pineapple fizzy drink. You know, cart it off.
My kids are part of this growing up in New Zealand study.
So are mine.
And what's quite interesting is the WHO, the World Health Organization standards amongst what is obese and not, is not, are actually a bit...
Really?
Yeah, they really? Are actually. Well, they don't take into account that New Zealand kids are quite a lot bigger than other kids in other parts of the world. We're quite big people.
I'll tell you what, your son Hugo, whoa.
He's a fun
last time I saw him, I was like, Hugo, chow down, wide load.
Dude, he needs to start. He's a rake.
See, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You can't see to him. He just looks like a rake. But to me, it's like boom, 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 boom.
Is that why you called him Fatty Bumbaletti?
No, one of the reasons. Fatty Bumbaletti.
It's a bit rough. Boom, I mean, boom, boom, he weighs boom. Like 19 kilograms. He's the skinniest. He needs to eat more food.
He does. Well, he eats a lot, but your son's just, he's like a bumblebee. Everything's happening at pace.
He needs more sugar. I've been saying this to Tulsi for ages. We need to feed him up on more Fanta.
He's one kid that needs the 2-litre
Fanta. He needs it. He totally needs it. Now, you have a look around the world and New Zealanders. Like, when you go overseas, you can spot a New Zealander a mile away. You can see them coming. Most of them wearing 3-quarter pants with a punishing diesel slip-on shoe and are wearing a bum bag with an All Blacks jersey and a humiliating cap and a pair of speed dealers. But there's that. But also, we're just slightly bigger than most people. We're big units.
Well, we're not tall units, generally. We're just sort of, you know, we're not, like, English people are quite tall, but they're very fey with their tallness, if you know what I'm saying. When you're over in England, you see those massively tall fey people. But New Zealanders are just sort of solid, solid everyday units, aren't they?
We've got ruddy faces.
Yeah, we're massively punished by the sun.
Yeah.
It's nuclear down here.
Yeah.
But yeah, and another reason why your son Hugo is so dangerously thin is because you guys hide the snacks and the cookies up so high that he basically has to climb Mount Everest to get them. And he's setting up these dangerous contraptions with an armchair. He's got a stool on there.
No, he puts.
He's got a rubbish bin on top of that.
He goes the bin, and then a box on top of the bin, and then he starts climbing up the. It's disastrous.
If you wanted to put on weight, just put the cookies where you can get them.
Well, this is the problem.
You're trying to make it Sir Edmund Hillary. I know it's the 64th anniversary yesterday of when Sir Edmund Hillary climbed Mount Everest, but you're making your son into a Sir Edmund Hillary.
Yeah, he needs more sugar. That's the only way forward for him, if he's going to put on some weight.
I'm worried about my son, Barry, because he just keeps going, look at my belly, look at my belly, look at my belly, I got a baby in my belly. You know, when your kids, when you can see their ribs, but they can stick their tummy out?
Oh, yes. Mm. He's got muscle control around the abdominal area, hasn't he?
Yeah, but it's actually quite annoying. That'll I was playing Monopoly with him last night, and he was just standing up in the chair going, look at my belly, look at my belly, over and over again.
You need to punch him in the guts.
Yeah, no, I got the wooden spoon out.
That will sort that out.
Hey, up next, should we go through the top five fattest kids of popular culture?
Yeah, love to.
And now, it's another Matt and Jenny Top 5!
Yes, in light of a study saying that parents with overweight kids can't identify that their kids are overweight here in New Zealand, we're counting down the top five kids whose parents couldn't tell they were overweight from popular culture, Jerry.
That's right. You've written a list down. I'm going to read that list out.
Yeah. Okay.
And people will be amazed.
Number five.
You've written here Russell, the fat wilderness explorer from Up.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54, Sweat Lodge 12. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
Absolutely. What a wide load he was, and ironic, I guess, considering he had to be carried around by a bunch of hot air balloons in a house owned by an old man. But in the end, he turned out to be such a great New Zealander and really, really opened the heart of a man who had lost his wife and needed something in his life.
Number four.
You've got Ricky from Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yes, Ricky, once again, opened the heart of an old man who had lost his wife and really needed to see the humanity in the world. And what a great actor and what a great New Zealander.
Turns out some of those reserves, some of that energy reserves that he had standing by were actually quite handy for being lost in the bush for quite a long period of time.
Absolutely.
Number three.
Pigsy from Lord of the Flies.
They broke my glasses.
Yeah, the bespectacled ginger stick in the mud who turns into a Nazi by the end of Lord of the Flies.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, really needed those glasses, didn't he? Because there were no other glasses. But punishing story. I think all copies of Lord of the Flies should be burned and all movies of it should be erased.
Number two.
You've written Vern from Stand By Me.
Yeah, Vern. Jeez, Vern. What a comedian. What a funny guy. Massive chicken.
Yeah.
And it turns out they didn't need to find that body in the end because they got like a MacGuffin. By the time they got there, it was the experience they'd had with each other that was more important. Played by Jerry O'Connell, who later on got massively buff and became a huge movie star in his own right. Such movies as Jerry Maguire and Scary Movie 2.
Number one.
And the number one kid whose parents couldn't tell that they were overweight, Fat Albert from Fat Albert.
It's Fat Albert! And I'm gonna sing a song for you. And Bill's gonna show you a thing or two. You'll have some fun now with me and all the gang. Learning from each other while we do our thing.
Na, 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 gonna have a good time.
I mean, to be fair, his parents called him Fat Albert. So you kind of do think that they must have known that he was fat.
Yeah, well, his parents were Bill Cosby.
Oh.
He was Bill Cosby.
Oh.
And being Fat Albert was the least of Bill Cosby's crimes, it turns out.
So there are top five kids whose parents couldn't tell that they were overweight.
Thanks for sitting through another Matt and Jerry show on Radio Hauraki.
This podcast was brought to you by our bloody great mates at MyRepublic, the internet service provider that knows no limits. And when you sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code PODCAST, you will get 1 month free on top of what's already a bloody great deal.
MyRepublic. Like us at times, they know no limits.